Well, we are still in the book of Hebrews, believe it or not. This is message number 44. And this message begins to get really practical, even for us today. Because today what we want to look at is maybe some testimonies of other people, and maybe a challenge to you to have the kind of testimony that will be observed by others and desired by others. It's one thing to have a reputation. It's another thing to have a reputation where other people say, I want to be like that person. And we have some great examples. We're going to look at them this morning in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You say, oh man, we have a great opportunity to get through this in a good time this morning. Yes, we do. We want to talk about a great cloud of witnesses that surround us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to give you thanks for the witnesses that we do have. People who have lived a life, and we can look to them and say, Lord, guide us and help us to be more like them, less like ourselves. Ultimately, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ to be our example, to be like Him in word, thought, deed, and attitude. And Lord, we ask that you would just do the work necessary in our heart and in our lives so that we can be the kind of witness that not only glorifies you, but entices others. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Many witnesses, many cloud of witnesses. That's the word. Only used one time in the Bible, and it's right here. Cloud of witnesses. We want to read it. Let's see. We want to go back to the beginning. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let's go back. We'll get to this in just a minute. All right. Let's read this together. I guess we're kind of a little bit off the edge there, aren't we? Okay. Here we go. This says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I want you to notice something before we change. There are five us's in there. Five us's in one verse. Five us's and a we. One we. What is the author trying to tell us? Get involved. Recognize people who have gone before you and get involved yourself. Become one of those witnesses. So let's go to the next slide here. We want to take steps to maintain our Christianity. There's going to be three phrases we're going to look at this morning. Three things that we can do to help maintain our Christianity. Number one on the list, pay attention to your Christian heritage. And as Christians, yes, we have a very rich and abundant heritage. And the author of the book of Hebrews is going to point out some of them to us. But we have others that are pointed out from church history, and maybe even from your history. And we want to become more like those people who have lived the life before us. See what they're called? They are called witnesses. Now some have looked at this and said, well, cloud of witnesses, they're the guys that are up there watching us, right? Well, no, I don't think that's what it is. Because the word that's used here is the word that we translate as martyr. We have a great cloud of martyrs. Are you martyrs? Well, maybe in this sense, you are to be a witness for God. But the martyrs that he speaks of from Hebrews 12 are people who put their life on the line. And they said, I will live for Christ regardless of the cost. I hope you've said that very thing. And if you haven't, I hope you will say it. Because that's where God wants us. Look at the cloud of witnesses that are set before us. Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith. Who is it mentioned there? Well, it mentions people like Abraham, the father of our faith. It mentions people like Moses, who spoke to God face to face as one speaks with a friend. It mentions people like Joshua, who entered into the promised land and fought against overwhelming numbers. It mentions people like David, who was called a man after God's own heart. How about Sarah, who continued in her faith even in her late years. How many of you ladies here are planning on having a baby? I just want you to know something. You know, help our congregation.
As a matter of fact.
But Dinah is the only one in our congregation who's of the same age as Sarah. And Sarah said, we're going to do it. And God honored her faith. She is one of the people that are listed in the Hall of Fame. And in addition to her, we have Rahab. I'm not recommending that you go take on her profession, okay?
Yes.
You know what I mean. But do take on her faith. These witnesses came in. They said, this is what's going to happen. This is what God is going to do. And she said, I'm with you. You know, it's a wise person who sees what's happening, the good that's happening, and says, you know what? I'm not going to try to oppose you. I'm going to join you. And we're going to work together. And that's what Rahab did. She was part of that cloud of witnesses that was before us. You know, how about in the past? Apostle Paul. Well, he reached his world for Christ. How about John? He was not even afraid to be boiled in oil and then banished to the island of Patmos. He continued to serve God. He became an elder of the church of Ephesus after that. And there is another cloud of witnesses that isn't mentioned here. How about Polycarp? Who said, 86 years I have served him. How can I deny my Savior and my Lord? There's a witness for you. How about Irenaeus? 217 references to people who claimed to be Christians who weren't. Wow. What a guy. He kept Christianity on the right road. That's part of our cloud of witnesses. People like Athenaeus, who was the person who led the Council of Nicaea. He stood against a guy named Arius and condemned him as a heretic because he said Jesus Christ is not the Almighty God. You can see modern day Arians today, and they're called the Watchtower. They're called the Jehovah's Witnesses. But Athanasius had the guts to stand against them. He's part of our cloud of witnesses. How about Martin Luther? You know where he really showed his faith greatly was at a place called, you guys aren't familiar with this, the Diet of Worms. Sounds like a funny name, but that's what they called it. Diet was just simply a hearing before the Catholic superiors. And Worms, that was a German town that they met in. And you know what Martin Luther did? He was told, all these writings that you've done, everything that you've said about Christianity, you've got to recant it. You've got to say that I don't really believe it, or we're going to make it really hard on you. And you know what Martin Luther said? I got it here on a page. Unless I am convinced by the testimony of scriptures or by the clear reason, for I do not trust either the Pope or the councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. He said, I am bound by scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. That is a person who is a witness for us. But notice what he said. I'm standing on scripture. My conscience is there with it. And I will not budge. I hope that's your testimony as well. You know, there are other people that are witnesses before us. I hope you have some. I have people that have really greatly influenced my Christian life. I mentioned that a guy named Glenn Shunk, Shunk, is the guy who gave the message that brought me to Christ. But after that, there were people like Dawson Trotman. Yes, he was the founder of the Navigators. And I read a lot about him. I read a book that thick on his biography. And I loved what he did with his relationship with Christ. And I said, I want to be like him. And I became part of the Navigators, discipling people and encouraging them to love God like I do. Like you do, right? Mm-hmm. We are to have that testimony. Dawson was a good example. So was Dick Owens, who licensed me to preach in 1973. Yeah, this is the start of year 52 that I've been one of God's preachers. Dick Owens was a testimony to me. So was Paul Minnick, a Presbyterian elder that pointed me in the right direction and said, here's the way that you should go. I emulated Paul. He was a guy that he would invite me out to dinner often. I always picked it up. And every time he had these little red Bibles and he'd give to people. And he was quick with the testimony. And the other thing I loved about Paul is if anybody had a problem, a plumbing problem, an electrical problem, he had the knowledge. And he would go over and fix their place. Paul was, what a guy. He was my mentor. One of them. I have other ones. Paul was an elder of a Presbyterian church. That was a good group. In addition to them, though, I have people that weren't anything but members of the congregation. Dave and Janet Kuykendall. My wife remembers them. They literally held a church together for 20 years before I came along. And they were so kind and encouraging to us. They would watch our kids. A lot of times our kids wouldn't even want to come home. That was mainly because we didn't have a TV. But Dave and Janet Kuykendall were an example of being tender-hearted and being, they would give you the shirt off their back. And Dave was a dentist and Janet was a nurse. But they were just great people that loved the Lord and gave to others. I have one right here from the island. And some of you maybe shared the same person as one of your cloud of witnesses. Florence Harris. Tom and Pat and I, we met together at their house for dinner the first time we met.
That's right.
But the thing I noticed about Florence, anybody coming to the church, anybody new coming to the church, she was right there. Come and sit with us. And she would invite them to dinner. And she was so giving. You, those of you who know her know what I'm talking about. There are people who live the Christian life who we should say, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. I would love to hear your list sometime. But I hope you have a list of people who have greatly influenced your life. Okay, so number one, pay attention to your Christian heritage. Do it. Number two, the second phrase, we're going to move on to us. Let us also, and I want to camp on that word. The word also. You say, well, that means that somebody is doing something and I'm supposed to join them. That's what also means here. Or I've got a list of these things and this one belongs in there as well. My friends, this one belongs in your life as well. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. There are some things that we are supposed to do as Christians in order to keep Christianity on the right road. And we are to put aside things which hold you back spiritually. There are two things that are mentioned here. Probably one of them is really easy to see because it is the word sin. My brothers and sisters in Christ, know what the Bible calls sin and turn away from it. You know, there's a verse in the book of Corinthians where the Apostle Paul identifies a number of things. And he says this, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor those who are covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers have any place in the kingdom of God. Whoosh. Avoid every sin, because it will keep you out of the kingdom of God. Let me add a couple of things to that list. Lying. You know that Revelation says that no liar has his part in the kingdom of heaven? Do not lie. And then Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he also said this, if you do not forgive others, I will not forgive you either. Whew. Avoid every sin. Because they're the things that are going to keep you out of heaven. You know, in our day and age, it seems like it's really popular. I feel so bad for young people. Young girls and young boys. You know, we just live in a different world. It used to be that you kind of courted one another and slowly moved on towards more marriage. now it's almost to the point where, hey man, if you're going to love somebody, or if you're going to be interested in somebody, they're going to have to come home and sleep with you. I just want to say this. It is sin. The Lord said it'll keep you out of heaven. We need to encourage and instruct our grandkids. Yes. Our young people. Fornication, sex before marriage, is something that God does not approve of. And it will keep you from your godly spiritual walk. Put aside all sin. The other thing that's mentioned is encumbrance. It's not a sin, but it's something that's going to slow you down. And that may keep you out of being a truly born-again Christian. Watch out for the weights that weigh you down. Again, this is the only place in the Bible this word appears. It's translated here as encumbrance. It's translated in other Greek writings as weights. There are things that are going to hold you back. They're going to hold you down. Nothing wrong in itself, but it's just going to keep you from drawing near to God. I've seen this. I've seen people who put sports ahead of God. I've seen people who have put education ahead of God. I've seen people that put, you know, having a good time ahead of God. And they're not sinning. But they're doing things that hold them back from growing spiritually in Christ. I had a roommate when I was in the Army. Yeah, I was in the Army. My roommate, Jerry Kenny, when he first came, imagine if you could. Here's me up there, and they put me in the room that was closest to the cannon that went off every morning at 6 o'clock. And it was pointed in my direction. I'm not sure why they put me there, because I certainly didn't need the extra help waking up. But they put me up there. And could you imagine, though, you're coming into this new Army, and they're going to say, okay, Jerry, hey man, you get to go be the roommate with Daryl. So it was a few months, but then Jerry came to Christ. And I got good news for you, because Jerry, not only did he come to Christ, he went on to become a pastor. Huh. Interesting. But he made a commentary on this very phrase. He said, I get this picture of entanglement. He says, they're like cords and stuff. They're tied around my throat. And I'm trying to run the race, and they're holding me back. He said, I got to get rid of those things. That's absolutely right. And I'm not here to tell you what your encumbrance might be. But you are here to identify it and distance yourself from it. Put aside every sin, that's easy, and every weight that holds you back. Is there something in your spiritual life that's holding you back? You'd say, I would be a lot better Christian. I'd have a lot better testimony if I simply didn't do this. Identify it. Turn from it. Put it aside. The author of Hebrews says the exact same thing. Identify it. Put it aside. Do it for God. Do it for others. Do it for yourself. It brings glory to God. And put you in a position where you can be a witness and a testimony for somebody else. You want to be there. You want to do that. Join the Christian heritage where other people can look at your life and say, I want to be like him. I want to do things like he doesn't. By the way, that's kind of what discipleship is all about. Let's move on to number three. The third phrase. Here's the word us again. Don't think that we are supposed to be spectators. Just in case some of you aren't aware, there's a couple of football games coming on this afternoon. Some of us here, just saying, there's a good chance that some of us here are going to be spectators. You know, that's not what this verse asks. It's not asking for people to watch others run the race. Notice the word us. It is for the purpose of you getting involved in the race. Participate in the race. The word race is, again, a word that appears only here. There are other words that are used for race, but this is a particular word. It is the word, I'm going to tell you what the Greek word is, because you're going to pick it up. Agagon. Agagon. Just in case you didn't catch it, it's translated or transliterated as agony. Agony. Does that describe the race that you're in? Oh no, I came to Christ to get out of that stuff. I came because everything was going to be beautiful. I was really in need of some comfort and some direction. That's why I came to Christ. You know, but you come to Christ and it may possibly result in some difficulties. I mean, think about if you had Madeline Marie O'Hare as your mother. Bill Murray O'Hare did. And so he was the one that went to school, and he said, well, I shouldn't have to pray the Lord's Prayer. And Madeline Marie took it to the Supreme Court and won. And guess what? They took Christian prayer out of the school system. 1948, they took Christian Bible out of the curriculum. Isn't that wonderful? Look what's happened to our schools in the last 50 years. It's not good. Not good. But nonetheless, Madeline Marie O'Hare had that influence. She was an atheist. She was a Marxist. She wanted to see the same atheism that was in the communist Russia become part of this country. And she had a great influence. How would you like to be her son? Bill Murray, that's his name. He agreed with his mom at first, and something got hold of his life. And he flipped. And guess what? Bill Murray, in 1980, the year Lois and I were married, in 1980, he became a Christian. Guess what mom told him? Oh, man, what'd you do, Bill? I wish that abortion would have been available at that time. That's actually what she told him. I wish I could have aborted you. You know, some of us don't face that kind of rejection when we come to Christ. Sometimes it's a lot more subtle. Sometimes it's just you know, don't tell me. Has anybody ever said this? Don't tell me you're one of them. Yeah, I am. I'm one of them. And I'm happy and I'm proud of it. Participate in the race. And don't expect everything to go really super easy. It doesn't work out that way. Sometimes it works out to be really hard. Listen to some things in the life of the Apostle Paul. I wrote down three verses here. One of them is in 1 Corinthians 9, 23 and 24. And the Apostle Paul, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he said, be a follower of me. Is that what you tell your friends? Be a follower of me. But he didn't stop there. As I am a follower of Christ. That needs to be our modus operandi. That needs to be the thing that we put number one. I want to be like Jesus in word, in thought, in deed, in attitude. So Paul wrote these things. I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you know that those who run in a race all run? But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you can win. So, you're supposed to be running race. Believe it or not, in high school, I ran track, okay? I wasn't really good. I wasn't very good at all. I ran cross country also. My coach accused me of going out in the country and playing with the squirrels. I did my best, coach. I just wasn't that good. But that didn't stop me from training. I trained to be a runner. I set aside the weight. I didn't run in combat boots like I did in the army. Or wear a heavy coat when I went out to run in the country. I set it all aside. And then I said, I'm going to look for that finish line. And I'm going to rejoice when I come across it. Because running 3 miles out of the country is not the easiest thing the person could do. But you got to enter the race. Don't just be a spectator. Enter the race. I look at the Christian like the same way. You prepare for it. Right? You read the scripture, you pray, you go to church, you talk to other believers, you prepare for it. You set aside all the weights and the sins that easily entangle you. And you run. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in the next verse. Brethren, I do not regard myself as to having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's Apostle Paul. He says, I'm a runner. I'm not a spectator. I've set aside the weights. I'm looking for the goal. The goal is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My friends, that should be your goal. I want to be like Jesus because I want to live with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, what a prize. Now, Paul says only one's going to get the prize, at least in his race. But in Christianity, everybody who puts their faith and trust in Christ gets the prize. Those that live for Him, both here and there, get the greatest blessing. And you can be a witness for others. They can look at your life and they can say, I want to be like Him. I want to be like her. Because that is God's call in my life. Paul said this also. He said, and this is the end of his life, in 2 Thessalonians 4, 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. Now it goes from race to fighting. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love His appearing. Love His appearing, my friends. Live for Him who died for you. Run for Him. And then it also says here, not only run, but endure. Don't give up. There are going to be challenges that are going to come towards you. A lot of them aren't human. Some of them are satanic. And they're trying to trip you up. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to, if you come to Christ, he says, okay, fine. We're just going to make sure that you're not effective for Him. Don't enter the race. My friends, who is running your life? God or Satan? I'm going to listen to Him. And I'm going to endure. There's nothing that is going to happen to me that can take me away from my calling in Christ. You know, for many Christians, the race really has been agony, hasn't it? I think about the people in Nigeria. Last year, 5,000 lost their lives who said, I would rather have Christ than my life on this earth. In North Korea, if you become a Christian and it is found out, they not only come and put you in the gulag, they put your family in the gulag as well. I'd like to be there. How about China? You know, when we pastored a church in San Jose, we had a couple, Doug and Don Lagasse, who actually took Bibles over to the folks in China, underground. And they smuggled them into the country, and they never got caught. But they had a chance to meet some of the pastors there in China. One of them in particular stands out to me right now. It was a guy named, I don't remember his first name, but his last name was Lam. Pastor Lam. And he had not only one congregation that he led, he had several congregations. And Pastor Lam, the communist Chinese, that made them really, really mad. And they took Pastor Lam and threw him in gulags. And actually, he had spent more time in the gulags than he had spent in his churches. And they would let him out, and guess what? He'd go right back to the church. That's what I'm talking about. That's endurance. That's not giving in. That's not giving up. Well, let's look at a conclusion here, real fast. A summary. Number one, maybe not only identify, but be a godly person. But whatever the case, identify godly people to be your examples of true faith. There are godly people around you. I already mentioned a couple this morning. They're godly people. They're not necessarily pastors. there are godly people around you and say, you know what? They have a good relationship with Jesus. And I want to be like that. Identify those godly people. Now, number two, recognize things that hold you back spiritually. Recognize things that hold you back spiritually and put them aside. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to spend time. I'm not going to waste my valuable time that I've dedicated to God to these things. Let aside the sin, but also the encumbrances. Number three, keep involved. Don't ever give up. Keep at it. Do you talk with God as you do a friend? Do you read His Word saying, what do you want me to do today, Lord? Do you gather with other Christians regularly for encouraging them as well as being encouraged by them? Do you testify? Here's a big one. Do you tell others about your walk with God? Do you point them towards the God that can save them both now and forever? You know, I would just ask this, just kind of in conclusion here. If the government were to turn really evil and decided that it was time to round up all the Christians, would you be rounded up? Would they take you to jail? Question number two. If they said, well, we're only going to hold the ones that are really serious about their faith, would that be you? Would you be one of the ones that they said, we can't let this person out. They are really serious about their faith. We're going to have to hold them. What if they said, those that we hold, we're going to put the question to them. You could recant, like Martin Luther was challenged. You could say, I'm not going to believe this anymore, like so many brothers and sisters around the world are challenged. And if you don't change, we're going to kill you. Do you have the true faith that says, I am going to endure? There is nothing, nothing. Read my lips. There is nothing you can do to dissuade me from my God and my King. I have chosen to live for Him both now and forever. May that be your testimony, my friends. We have a cloud of witnesses. Let us also take the steps to maintain true Christianity. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the men and women in the past that have put their lives on the line. They have been challenged. They have been threatened. And yet they stay faithful. Lord, as the song says, I want to be in that number. Lord, may we be the people that you can count on, that you can use to bring glory to you. May we be the kind of people that entice us to follow a God that we love and will spend eternity with. We're thankful for the life that we have in Christ. Help us to live it in such a way that glorifies Him and entices others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.